Hang on. Is someone in here?
Phil Catterall, your thoughts should come here tonight.
Right, stop.
Be in your... What?
Stop. Well, there's a bunch of things. First of all, why are you in my cupboard?
Because you thought you'd come
right,
here...
Right, no. That doesn't... That's the same thing again. So we'll skip that one. Secondly, I know what you're doing, and he's been dead for years, and I'm pretty sure Michael Aspel did the show for significantly longer than he did anyway.
Yeah, but you tried doing a Michael Aspel impression.
I've managed to get through nearly 40 years without having to even try to do a Michael Aspel impression.
Surprise! It's your surprise. Don't let's chat. 50 fabulous years of Phil Catterall special.
Okay, well, first, it's 40.
Roll the titles!
Student. Super Feature!
Hello, I'm June Whitfield.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
Hello, I am Ben Baker, 38 years old. And over there is the special birthday boy and his special birthday bib and special birthday tucker, whatever that is.
Okay, it's Phil Catterall, and first of all, I'm still 39 at the time we record this, because it's not my birthday until next week. And even then, when this comes out, it's still going to be the day before my birthday, so...
But it's good, because it means I get in early to celebrate your 50th birthday with you, so...
It's still my 40th. You can't just keep saying it's 50th and add 10 years to my age, Ben.
65 fabulous years of Phil Catterall here on Don't Let's Chat. And to celebrate, I asked Phil to come up with the top 40 things he loves best in the world for today's topic. How did you get on?
I did 20 because I wasn't doing 40.
So this is a special all about things you like.
Yeah.
Except one
thing. Except one thing, yeah.
We feel we've done enough giant robot content. my skills is pulling my arm off and then... Put it back in a different place. It's a bit like a gun.
What?
I don't know. The Transformers still... I don't know what they do. I'm not...
It's not it, no.
I spent my youth smoking fags, having it away with the Nolans. As you know, I had a very exciting childhood. I didn't have time for any of that.
The Nolan, you know what? Can we just move on? Because I really don't want to find out any more details of this.
Did I not mention I was Shane Ritchie?
No. please stop.
Sorry, that's next week's 40 fabulous Shane Ritchie vehicles nobody remembers. And the week after that is, of course, the top 40 I'm Pasquale, he's Walter. So, let's look at this top 20 that you put together. Mm. And we'll start, appropriately enough, at 20.
At 20, I've put Paul F. Tompkins, and really he could have gone almost anywhere in the list. Do we have to explain who Paul F. Tompkins is to people listening to podcasts? I don't know if we do.
Well, this is it. I think for most podcast-savvy people, they'll be aware of the comedian and improviser Paul F. Tompkins from things like Comedy Bang Bang.
Yep.
Bliznick asks, Cake Boss. What's the most erotic cake you've ever made?
Oh, this guy came in and he said, my wife and I, we've been married for 75 years.
What? How old must he have been?
He was old as sin. Probably in the high 150s, I think he was.
So he got married at 75, you think?
Yeah. Probably late in life. He was a late bloomer. He says, I want to reinvigorate our sex life. I said, this is too much information. TMI.
Did he give you any instructions other than that, or did he leave it up to your sort of imagination?
Yeah, he said, make it a lady fucking a horse.
He crops up in a lot of things.
I think the most famous thing he's in at the moment is Mr. Peanut Butter's voice in BoJack Horseman.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Second best thing he's known for is, of course, meeting me.
Well, yes.
because we went to see comedy improv troupe Super Ego at the London Podcast Festival last year.
Yes, indeed.
It was brilliant.
Yes, it was. And I do not mind admitting it's the most starstruck I've been by anything, which is ridiculous. They're just some people that do a podcast. And I was just I could not go and speak to them. I couldn't do it.
And for some reason, there was only me out of all our friends who would actually go up and get something. Yep. Yep. Signed and talk to them.
Yep. I couldn't do it. I could not physically do it.
I tried talking to Paul F. Tompkins and he just looked like, I'm so tired.
Yeah, it was like midnight at this so point, tired. Wasn't it?
And I think he was booked in for about 8 podcasts that weekend.
Yeah.
Because he is the podcast man.
Yes.
What day is today? It's Phil's birthday. What a day for a birthday. Let's all have some cake. Hooray! Congratulations, Phil. It's your old pal Gareth from Retrospecticus here to wish you a happy birthday. You've still got the touch and the power, even at the ripe old age of... let's see, where's my notes? Well, happy birthday anyway. Till all are one.
Number 19.
Right. Slight change of tone. The Alien franchise in general. Not any specific film, but the thing in general. Yeah.
So what was your first interaction with the Alien franchise? Was it the second film?
Well, I mean, film-wise, yes, it was the second film. My first actual interaction was the Commodore 64 game.
Very tense, sort of, despite the limited graphics.
Yes, it's sort of a first-person shooter, yeah, sort of-ish.
Yeah, because you didn't have much screen to actually look.
No, you didn't.
So it was a lot of corners, I recall.
Every room was like a 360-degree rotation. You had to go through the doors and get all the way to the other end. But you could only go a certain distance before you ran out of stamina and you had to switch to another character. Because the character you just left in a room was being attacked by an alien. And film-wise, it would have been when Aliens was shown on ITV, cut to ribbons. I think I borrowed the video off a friend. And yeah,
especially ruined for television.
Yes,
I believe,
indeed. but yeah, it goes, incidentally, for people that are keeping score, it goes Aliens, Alien, that's a controversial bit, 3, Prometheus, Resurrection, Covenant. Really don't like Covenant, really think it's bad.
But at least only one of them has Danny McBride. what is your number 18?
My number 18 is Leon Herring. Now, this has to sort of go in there on the basis that it is in part one of the reasons that we are friends, I feel.
Yes, yeah, very much so, yeah. You had the Radio 1 music shows, which I hadn't heard at that point. Because I think that's kind of what you specifically honed in on. The TV stuff is great.
Yeah.
But the radio stuff...
I like the radio stuff more because they weren't waiting for a reaction from anyone when they were doing stuff. Yeah. They were doing stuff because it amused them. And basically that's it. And there was that sense of being in kind of a sort of weird gang if you were in on the bit, I feel like.
Yeah. Definitely.
Which I think, you know, the generation of comedy fans after us probably got the same thing from the Mighty Boosh, which meant nothing to me. I don't get it, but I think it's the same sort of, this is weird.
There was some running jokes and there was running, but you know, not even jokes sometimes, just running words sometimes. you know.
I mean, running words absolutely describes our MO, I feel.
Oh, yes. I mean, we have taken everything lock, stock and barrel from them.
Oh, no, definitely.
And in a similar way, we sort of hope we have that feel with Don't Let Start as well. You know, people can feel part of it as a club, as a bit of a gang of weird people. not you, us. Us, obviously.
Yeah, we're definitely us.
Did you see Leon Herring in number 17?
I did, actually, as it turns out. So number 17 is Nottingham, where I live now. And I really like it here. This is... I've always wanted to move back here, and now I've been able to. You've been here, you've seen it, it's nice. I like
it. Lovely city, yeah.
So yes, no, I did see Leon Herring here in about 1996, which makes me feel quite old. I was doing my GCSEs at the time. In fact, I think I'd just finished my GCSEs, or I'd got like one day where I didn't have one or something. But yeah, a bunch of us went and saw Leon Herring. It was good. He made fun of the Tales of Robin Hood, which is now sadly closed. And has been for years.
Hello, it's Paul Abbott here from Hark, the 87th Precinct podcast, calling in to wish Phil a very happy, merry birthday day. We're all about the crime fiction of Ed McBain here, but I thought I'd give you a quick chart all about some crime facts I've discovered. These are the top 5 things Phil Catterall has been arrested for. Number 1, impersonating a leopard. 2, moss denial and general lichen dismissal. 3, gravy 4. Painting the word chevron onto a shepherd's knuckles. And 5. Operating a non-union doll fighting franchise. This is all dramatic stuff, I'm sure you'll agree. So, happy birthday, Phil, and fare thee well. Bye!
Moving on to 16.
Number 16 is video games, which is very broad.
It is broad. All video games, of course, your favourites are Horace Goes Skiing.
No.
Horace goes over there. Horace comes back again.
Good. No.
I don't know. What sort of games?
What sort of games? Well, I mean, okay, so I have been playing video games since I was about 4.
They didn't have video games when you were 4. You're
they
crazy,
did.
Man.
I had a Commodore VIC-20.
You mean that Pong one that they had on that kind of oscilloscope screen?
No, I was slightly later than that.
That's a funny joke.
It's very good.
So,
I've got opinions with a capital O about video games.
A lot of people do. It's funny that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have opinions that mean that I combine it with a hatred of women. That's where I'm different to many of your video game fans.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I think that's a good thing. A bit controversial, I know,
Let's not alienate too many of our listeners, Ben.
Women are equals.
I mean,
any video games of number 15?
Yeah, loads, but most of them are really bad.
Yeah, they are.
Number 15 is Star Trek as a general thing. So
cool. Which is the best one?
What do you mean the best one?
Which is the best one? Which is the best Star Trek?
What do you mean, films? You mean series? What do you mean?
I want the best one.
Discovery. There you go. I like Discovery. Or Wrath of Khan. Or what about First Contact? I like First Contact. There's a lot of best ones, Ben. You have to be more specific.
Smashing number 14.
Right. This is a really specific bit. You know the end bit of a Columbo episode?
I you know what? I know all the bits of a Columbo episode because they're always bloody on.
Specifically the bit at the end of the episode where he drops the bumbling idiot facade and completely ruins some rich bloke's day.
Yeah.
I really like that bit because you know it's coming. Yeah. You absolutely know it's coming. Yeah. You know he knows it's that person because he's been harassing him the whole film. And it's the bit where and it's always a class thing. It's always the, you know, grubby raincoat Columbo versus someone probably in a blazer. But yeah, it's the bit where the murderer realises, oh, bum, he's definitely got me on this. I really like that bit.
So, I'm just going to ask you again. Did you do it? No, Mr. Columbo, I'm telling you. Okay. Oh, I just found this letter that said, I definitely done it, signed you, brackets, the most famous person in this episode, other than Peter Falk. And they go, but, and it's like freeze frame.
Smash cut to credit.
13.
Number 13, right, role-playing games. So.
I thought you were going to say RPGs.
RPGs.
What are RPGs? Rumble Pumble Gumbles.
Yes, Rumble Pumble Gumbles. I'm a big fan of Rumble Pumble Gumbles.
Well, I've gone back for that.
So, to be clear, right, I should have been playing RPGs when I was about 13, 14, but I didn't. I didn't start playing RPGs until I was in my mid-30s. And it's all the fault of regular listener Nook Harper, who got me playing with a group of people online. And I really like it now. It's like improv, only nerdier. if such a thing is possible.
And number 12!
Number 12 is falling asleep to Radio 4 Extra, because that is a thing that I do.
You are the only person I know who does this. it's fascinating. Not Radio 4.
It used to be Radio 4. I did used to fall asleep to Radio 4. So I started out as a kid with a clock radio, and I would fall asleep to Radio 1 when it was Nicky Campbell presenting it at like 10 o'clock at night.
Fair.
Then it became Mark and Lard. Then Mark and Lard moved to the afternoon slot, and I was more interested in comedy stuff at that point. I like the comedy stuff. I don't like the Today in Parliament that immediately follows it. So when BBC 7 became a thing, I started listening to that instead, and then BBC 7 became Radio 4 Extra. So, yeah.
Have you ever had weird dreams that have been influenced by anything that's been filtering through them?
So the worst one that I've had is when I was quite unwell with like a feverish sort of cold. And it used to be that at midnight every night there would be the Seventh Dimension, which was the sci-fi and horror slot. And on this particular occasion, they were running an adaptation of The Shadow Over Innsmouth, the H.P. Lovecraft story, being read by Jeff from Coupling. So,
good old Richard Coyle.
Being feverish and waking up in the middle of Richard Coyle describing how he was fleeing from some deep ones. Yeah.
Hello, Philip. Happy birthday. It's your friend Christine here. I've known Phil for many, many years, far too many to mention, and there's three things that I like about him. One, he's an incredibly supportive, very good friend, even when he's calling us all tiresome. Two, he has fantastic taste in soft furnishings. All of his cushions were acquired through the Made With You In Mind Facebook page, but I also believe they could have been found at their website, madewithyouinmind.co.uk. And last, but by no means least, and I'm sorry, Phil, you know what's coming, he is still known within my family, 35 years on, as the boy who kicked his shoe on the roof because of one real fluke accident that happened at Bottisford Primary School all those years ago. So happy birthday, Phil. Bye.
11.
Right, the Bond franchise. Now, I know a lot of Bond films are not okay. I know that. Especially the Sean Connery.
What do you say not okay? Do you mean are not good or have been deemed quite Me Too-ish in the current environment?
Well, I'm not saying have been deemed. I personally deem them quite Me Too-ish. Especially the Sean Connery stuff. I would argue that Roger Moore is less bad, but some of his stuff is still not great. And it's still not great now, but at least it's slightly more self-aware about not being great. But as a thing that I would watch regularly as a kid, and I've got them all on Blu-ray over there, pointing, they're over there. It's in a different room. It's around the corner. I'm very fond of them.
Fond of Bond.
Bond fond. I would say I am Bond fond.
Bond fond.
Yes.
If you had to go on Mastermind on one of the films, which one do you know best?
Living Daylights. Absolutely, 100%, no question. Because
who appeared as James Bond in Living Daylights?
It's Timothy Dalton, Ben. It's Timothy Dalton.
This concludes this week's episode of Mastermind.
Good.
For the terminally Bond. What's your favourite Bond theme?
I like the Living Daylights.
Oh.
Yep. I think View to a Kill might be a better Bond theme than Living Daylights. I think possibly View to a Kill.
I'm with you there. I'm all right.
Don't get me wrong. I think David Arnold had quite a few good ones under his tenure.
The world is not enough.
Yep.
But it is such a perfect place to start with love. Tomorrow never dies.
Please don't. And, please end this.
And the other one.
The other one, that era.
That one, yeah.
Die Another Day is very much them going, Madonna, do you want to do a Bond theme? And her going, no, but I've got this. You can just use that. It's like, oh, doesn't really fit as a Bond theme. It's like, you can have it or you can get out. Also, I want to be in the film for one scene, despite the fact there's no point.
You know, I would love to tell you a joke at this point about Sean Connery's sister's children, but it's a little niche.
Oh.
Hey! Oh. 10!
10. Right. I've put these next to each other on purpose because this is like literally the opposite of the Bond franchise. So, I've branded this as Left Tube / Bread Tube.
I assume it's nothing to do with Carla Lane's hilarious mid-80s sitcom.
No, it's not. It's the umbrella term that sort of sits over a bunch of YouTube creators that I quite like, despite them themselves not really ascribing to it as a thing. So the likes of H-Bomber Guy, of Philosophy Tube, of Lindsay Ellis, Dan Olsen, that whole array of people who are doing stuff that I find interesting and is teaching me stuff and is generally making me a better human being than I would be without having seen it. So
yeah, I call them video essayists.
Yes. But specifically, they've got quite a leftist bent to them rather than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, leftist bent was my my university band.
Was it?
No, so I didn't go to university.
No. No, it didn't.
I've never heard the phrases left tube or bread tube.
Yeah,
before,
I don't know where bread tube specifically is. Left tube sort of makes sense as a thing, but bread tube is confusing to me. I don't know why it's a thing.
Eat some bread! Do you remember these other channels where it's just a fellow eating bread? YouTube's come a long way, is what I'm saying.
I bloody love bread, mate. I bloody love it.
Oh, God. Is that at number nine?
At number nine? No, at number nine.
Bread!
And this is appropriately... For someone who now lives in Nottingham, Warhammer 40,000.
Warhammer.
What?
Warhammer.
Don't do that.
Warhammer.
Don't do that. Anyway, so Games Workshop's
the
from
here.
The
best bit is he has no idea what that's a reference to.
I do not.
Despite the fact it's his choice.
What's this a reference to?
I'm leaving it there. I'm not telling you.
We'll see in a bit.
Warhammer is... It's not a board game, is it? It's a figures type game.
It's a tabletop miniatures game, yes. But it's also the whole expanded universe that sits around it. So there's novels and there's all sorts there, and there's video games.
But how well do you know the world of Warhammer 40K?
Well, I think we're going to find out because it sounds like you've done something.
Is this a Warhammer 40K character? A Bulgarian Football League team.
Right.
Awesome shit I am literally just making up now.
Okay.
Can you choose which is which?
I think there is probably a decent chance that I can. So let's see.
Number one, Gore Halfhorn.
Gore Halfhorn? Is that a 40k one?
Yes. Gore Halfhorn is an infamous beast man, a bounty hunter who hunts the underhives of the Necromunda's hive primus.
Okay, it's Necromunda.
The
okay,
capital
fine.
Of that violent hive world.
Right.
He is a beast man. Ooh. And that's no comma in that. He's a beast man.
No, I get it.
He is a beast man.
No, I understand. You don't have to keep...
Number two, Strumska Slava.
I'm going to say that's a Bulgarian football team.
It is a Bulgarian football team. Well done. Number three... Crown!
Is that something from Warhammer 40,000?
No, I just read that.
Okay, fine.
Crown!
I mean, it fits.
Yeah, it does. And that's kind of the point of the quiz, Phil, thanks.
All right. Dickhead.
If we're going to be... put some passages.
I mean, still, could be a goblin. Anyway.
Number four!
Gretchen.
Dylan Belfry.
No, that's got to be another football team.
General Dylan Belfry is a senior Imperial military commander who served under War Master Slaedor.
Well, fair enough.
He was heroically killed in action on the world of Ambold 11.
Right.
During Operation Newfound.
Fair enough.
Five. Horus Aximand.
Yeah, no, that he's a very important Warhammer 40,000 character. He's basically responsible for why the universe is what it is. Yeah, he's definitely a 40k character.
Now dead.
Yes.
Spoilers. Dead.
Lots of people in 40k are dead, Ben.
Yeah. Number six, Befton Juniper.
No, that's the thing that you just made up. It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Seven, Lokomotiv Plovdiv.
Yeah, that's a football team.
It is. There's several locomotives. Apparently, they were train based. Yeah.
Good.
Who knew? Number eight.
Come on.
Shambosi Hippopotamus Crimes!
I think that might be one that you just made up, Ben.
Let me just check.
I don't think you're taking this seriously.
I did make that one up. It's true. Nine!
Yep.
Knock, dead dog!
That is a 40k one, yeah.
Knock dead dog.
I know.
It's a legend in his own lifetime.
It is.
An ogre whose fighting abilities as an astromilitarian soldier are almost as astonishing as mental development.
Yep. No,
that can be called precocious for one of his subspecies.
He's good, him. He's good.
And finally, in 40k character, Bulgarian footballing team or some shit I just made up.
Take a deep breath. You can do this.
Chim Cham and Fiddle Grim Grom Spoderman Flimsons. Ben. Sparkly Trumbo, give me just a little more time. Shine on, happy Christmas, take me to the Uncle Factory. Willies and bums, get your tums, and Simon Bates' penis. Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, as quiz answers go, it's not
I'm
as good...
I'm finished!
No, you have finished.
Krelm. Well, the answer, of course, that is 40K. It's one of the new wave characters that only the best fans know about.
Right.
So you lose, and you get your birthday removed by Deadpool.
Good.
By... I don't know, Alan Sugar, someone like that.
I mean, the good thing about like that is it means that as it's not my birthday anymore, we can stop, yeah?
Hello, Phil, and everyone at Don't Let Pretend to Chart, the podcast. I am Paul Gannon. Yes, that's right, from internet hit Cheap Show, formerly of Bartians and currently putting up with Biffo on Digitizer. It's all about me, so let me talk about me instead of talking about Phil, who's, I don't know him, I don't know Phil. I barely know Ben. I think Ben's got some pictures of me, which is the only reason why I still bother getting in touch with you guys. Anyway, what's my point? The point is I'm great, aren't I? So happy birthday, Phil. But remember, I'm best. So thank you, Phil. Happy birthday. I don't know how old you are, but it's probably old. So deal with that. And Ben, please give me those photos back. Please.
No way.
The voice work of Jim Cummings, who you may know as the voice of Winnie the Pooh, but also as the voice of practically everyone in every Disney thing ever.
he's Darkwing Duck.
Yep, he was. He was.
Is he Tigger?
He's Tigger and Pooh.
Oh yes, because, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. My son was watching. I've snuck Transformers in. He was watching Transformers Robots in Disguise, and one of the bad guys, which I think was like a crab transformer, was voiced by Jim Cummings, and all I could do was go, well, that's just Winnie the Pooh. It's Winnie the Pooh. I can hear Winnie the Pooh. I can hear Winnie the Pooh. Because once you've heard, once you know it, he does have a good range, but you can always tell it's Jim Cummings. It's a bit like once you know Mark Hamill's the Joker, you hear him.
Oh, yeah, Billy West.
Yeah.
You know, just as soon as I knew him as Stimpy and I started seeing his names and stuff.
Exactly.
You know, he was one I, like, got to see all, you know. Would you like to hear some of my character voices?
Go on, then.
I'm Donald Duck!
No. Stop now. Yeah, so I've just had to check what his character was called, and his crab-based character was called Clampdown. So, it's good.
Quack!
Yeah.
Number seven
is Community. Anyone who knows me knows that I really, really like Community. I don't know that I have a lot to say about it that I've not said before, but
it's a sitcom, you know. Let's put it out there for people who've never heard of it.
Yeah.
It's a sitcom which starts out fairly normally about a study group of seven people who are sort of all quirky in their own way, but becomes something very, very strange.
Yes, it does. The second season is probably when it hits its stride. The third season I probably like more because it gets really weird in the third season.
And I liked it first and best, so...
Yeah,
moving
right.
on to six.
Number six, right. This is an odd one. Just wearing suits. People that encounter me regularly will not know me as someone who wears suits. But when I go to work, I quite like just wearing suits, even though I have no requirement to do so. There is literally no dress code.
Like Johnny Big Bollocks.
There's no dress code at my current employer. And at my previous employer, the dress code was basically, can you just not look like a tramp? Thanks. there is literally no reason for me to wear suits other than I quite like wearing suits. But my two modes of dress are either suit or... jeans and obscure t-shirt. That's it. That's the only... I don't have any middle ground. I have no casual shirts. I can't... I have no middle ground. I have no gears. I'm either stopped or I am at 90. That's it. That's all I've got.
And are you a big fan of the hit TV series Suits?
No, I've never seen an episode.
No, me neither. Number five!
Number five! This one had to be in there. Doctor Who, in general.
Right, I'm going to say this now.
Yeah.
This episode recording is running very long.
Yep.
And I've got to edit it.
Yeah, we're not going to get into
it. So can we kind of digest Doctor Who? down to 55 years of excellence.
I like Doctor Who. We've talked about Doctor Who before. We've talked about which is the best Doctor before, which is probably the seventh one for me. I think that's enough. I think that's enough. I think that's not controversial. I don't think anyone disagrees on that point. So there we go.
What would you say if I had to make you pick a Pip and Jane Baker story?
I would say go f*** off and die in a hole.
Well, I get to use a bleeper this week at least.
Yes, you do.
At number four.
Right. This is the only foodstuff on the list, and it is also not an acceptable foodstuff for many people. Scotch pies. Have you ever had a scotch pie, Ben?
Which one's that?
It's mechanically recovered meat with a lot of pepper in shortcrust pastry. It is not a good food. It is not a good food. I do not know why I am as fond of them as I am, and I haven't had one for a while, so I'm going to add some right now to my Asda shop that I'm collecting tomorrow. I'm genuinely doing this right now because I'm feeling really hungry and I'm disappointed that I cannot just have a scotch pie now.
I thought you might have gone for crisps, considering your popular nickname, Crisp Hitler.
It's not a popular nickname. It's not a popular nickname.
It is one that several people call you.
It's one that you and one other person call me.
No, Chris and Jenna both call you. How is your friend Crisp Hitler? Is Crisp Hitler all right?
Do they call me that?
When they ask about you. Yeah, they do. Because you had some rather strident opinions about
plaster's
crisps.
It's quite simple.
We were having a conversation. You just seemed overly vehement about some crisps.
I'm not vehement about it. It's quite simple. If it's not made of potato, it's not a crisp. That's it. It's not complicated. I don't mind them being on the same aisle as long as they're in their own section of the aisle.
Where would you send these non-potato crisps? To some sort of special chamber?
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm saying they just need their own section of the crisp aisle. Well, let's call it the snack aisle because they're, you know, a lot of them are corn-based snacks. That's fine. I don't have a problem with corn-based snacks.
I love the fact in your head you're saying this in a I am being very reasonable way. And everyone who's listening is going, I think Phil needs to eat.
Soon.
We'll crack on then to number three.
Number three, Giant Days. Now, you know what this one is.
I do know what this is because last year I asked the internet, the Twitter, for a comic to buy a friend for Christmas.
Yes.
Because she's into superheroes and stuff, so I wanted to get something a little bit quirky, a little bit sort of different. And the big answer that came from several people, yourself included, was Giant Days.
Yep.
Which is
a comic about three women at university. It sounds like not a lot when you say that, but there are hijinks, basically. There are definitely hijinks.
It's a weird mix of realism and daft, isn't
yes.
it? Kind of like
it gets very daft.
Yeah.
It's really good fun. There's decent characters doing fun things, and I like it.
And the present I gave to my friend, she literally read it there and then.
Yep.
So it was a successful present.
Good.
Thank you for that. Number two.
Number two. Board games. I've just said board games in general. As we've established with the RPG one, I spend a reasonable amount of time in a local board game cafe called Ludorati. They have social gatherings in which I go and play various different board games. So quite a lot of my free time goes towards board games. I've said sort of specifically Dominion, which is a deck building game, and I won't get into the specifics, but I play that. I quite like that. That's good fun. I like board games.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I like board games too. Tim keeps retweeting. I do have a racist Cluedo.
You do have racist Cluedo.
Which we will definitely film a game of at some point.
Oh God, I don't want to play racist Cluedo.
It's a good game. It's just
racist.
Just racist. Yeah.
Can we not just play normal Cluedo instead of racist Cluedo? Is that not?
I mean, yeah, but I don't think regular Cluedo's, like, you know they've all got ulterior motives. Which of the Cluedo characters do you think has most likely got an undesirable tattoo?
It's Colonel Mustard, clearly. It's Colonel Mustard.
It's Colonel who did it himself in the army.
Yep.
As well.
Anyone that's been portrayed on screen by both Leslie Grantham and Michael Jayston, it's a wrong'un.
Hi, Phil. Tim Worthington from Lots and Familiar here. it's your birthday, so guess what I've been doing to celebrate? That's right, looking at BBC Christmas tapes. And I've put together a chart of your favourite outtakes. At 5, the kid who phoned Going Live to speak to then Jericho and didn't shout piss at them. At 4, the Grange Hill sausage on the fork going too far across the screen, causing the cartoon pupils to fall over backwards. 3, when the play schoolhouse kept on self-drawing and couldn't be stopped. 2, the episode of Bugs where Craven Blockton was accidentally in an episode of Moon and Sun by mistake. And at 1, that time that A Prince Among Men was accidentally broadcast instead of being attacked with flaming jackhammers, nailed to a hide-and-high annual, flung into a skip full of 7-Up, and finally emailed to Julie Hartley Brewer with a note saying, how's about that for a vegan steak pie, snowflake? Happy birthday, Phil, from all listeners to Hi Pals, I'm Up Next with TV's Matthew Crosby.
And we get to the top of the shop. Number one, Phil's favourite thing, in some order or not, as sponsored by Correct Crisps.
Not corn-based snacks.
And the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it? Is number one the love of our Lord Jesus Christ?
No, it's not. Good grief. I do not qualify for that at this stage. Clearly not.
No. That's fair enough. Especially if you've heard this episode. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, number one is the John Cusack film Gross Point Blank, which has been my favourite film for years at this point.
Did you see it at the cinema?
No, I did not. I saw it on video maybe a couple of years later. Gross Point Blank, the story of John Cusack as a hitman who goes to his high school reunion. Love it. Genuinely love it.
Yeah, it's a simple setup, but it's an excellent mix of genuinely good action. Yep. And really funny.
Yep. And really specific nostalgia for a time that I'm not personally nostalgic for, but I had the soundtrack. The soundtrack's got Under Pressure on it. It's got Rudy Can't Fail on it. It's got Blister in the Sun on it. Nice. It's got Dan Aykroyd in it, being probably the best Dan Aykroyd has ever been in anything.
Yeah.
He's really good fun.
Yeah, definitely. Almost atoning for that film I'm not mentioning. No. So nobody Googles it and then accuses us on Twitter of some sort of foul play.
We specifically told people not to look up that film, and they did. We cannot be held responsible for that.
Indeed, I said, if you do, it'll be nothing but trouble. Oh, we're giveaway!
Anyway, bleep that, we don't need the grief. But yeah, also Mini Driver in it being absolutely brilliant, and yeah, I'd like Mini Driver in that film. I like it, Ben.
It's good. Three stars, some funny bits.
Cult hit for people of a certain age, I feel. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So all that remains is to wish Phil a very happy birthday for when it is actually his birthday, and thank all of the contributors who sent things in. Don't forget, we've got Patreon, patreon.com/dotletschat, where for $3 upwards a month, you get 2 extra episodes of this. Yep. Dolex at night.
Yes.
And we're at Dolex Chat on Twitter and all that good stuff. Yeah. You know that. Thank you to everyone who keeps sharing it and telling people, hey, we do this podcast. We're not celebrities, although by Christ, we're going to set fire to some buildings.
No, we're not.
This birthday weekend. No,
we're not setting fire to anything at all, ever. And if we were, we certainly wouldn't be recording it on a podcast.
But it's your birthday.
That fires aren't. You know what? Shall we just go?
Until next time, I have been a tube of bread.
And I have been... Hang on, let me check the list. I have been falling asleep.
Goodbye.
Bye. Oh, it's a long one, Ben. And also the recording.
Hello, I am your good pal, Ian Podcast. Just wanting to say, them birthdays up there, what that's done. And don't forget to subscribe to the latest podcast, Gemma Collins falls over a bin and says, £30. It truly is the grandest brandish podcast. .net.
What do I do?